Our scripture passage for this morning is the last story in the Gospel of Luke, which begins on Easter evening. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. This week we had a blast from the Blauenberg past. One of our church's former ministers, Reverend David Blau, and his wife Barbara came to the village for a luncheon with some church friends. Of course, the topic of ghosts came up during the Blau's visit. As many of you may know, the old parsonage here in Blauenberg is reportedly haunted. The old parsonage is the big white house next door to where I and my family live. And some of the current residents of the old parsonage are convinced that the house is in fact haunted. They have had some recent experiences that have led them to believe that something crossing between the realms of life and death is still creeping around the staircases, hallways, and bedrooms of the old manse. These recent stories, as compelling as they may be, they pale in comparison to the dramatic ghost stories that were first told back in the 1990s when a family named the Roses lived in the old parsonage. When those stories were first happening, it turns out the Blaus lived in the newer parsonage next door. And so during the luncheon on Thursday, Reverend David Blau shared that, yes, he remembered talking with the Roses and hearing contemporaneously in real time about the experiences that they were having with ghosts. David was told in vivid terms about how the old parsonage was haunted. And then, one winter, he was asked to help house it while the Roses were away for a few days. Our scripture passage for this morning is Luke's version of the story of Jesus' appearance to his disciples and their companions on that first Easter evening. When Jesus appeared suddenly and unexpectedly, the disciples were quick to think that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus' ghost, his pneuma, the Greek word for spirit. The disciples thought they were seeing a ghost because they knew something important about Jesus. They knew that Jesus had died. Crucifixion was an intentionally public form of torture and death. And so the disciples and others would have seen Jesus, their hoped for Messiah, King, and Savior. They would have seen him die on the cross. According to the Gospels, they had heard him give up his spirit to God. They had seen him breathe his last breath. They knew that he had died. They were aware that his body had been taken down from the cross. We are told that some of them witnessed his body even being wrapped in a cloth and being laid in a tomb. Jesus had died. And the disciples knew, like you and I know, that when someone dies, they typically stay dead. Yeah. But then suddenly, in the midst of their grief and disappointment and fear and regret, suddenly Jesus was there again in their midst. And the disciples' first thought was that they were seeing Jesus' ghost. Despite Jesus' predictions to the disciples on several occasions that he would die and rise again, the thought that they were seeing a ghost was in fact the most logical thought for the disciples to think in that moment. In the ancient world, and still today, it is not uncommon for those who have lost a special person in their life to have encounters with a spiritual or ghostly appearance of their recently lost loved ones. For instance, many people report seeing and speaking with their recently deceased loved ones in dreams. It is not uncommon to hear the voice of a recently passed loved one, their voice suddenly and unexpectedly speaking a message out of nowhere. And often that message is a message of comfort, of peace. Visions, dreams, ghost-like appearances, people who have lost loved ones often come to believe that they have in fact seen or heard or felt or experienced something. A ghost, spirit, the voice, an appearance, an apparition, or some other spirit-like aspect of someone who recently died. These days here in Blauenberg, people believe in ghosts. Back in the days of Peter, James, and John, back in the days of Mary, Joanna, and the other Mary, back in the time of the first Easter, people believed in ghosts. To be specific, people in Jesus' time believed in a spiritual realm, a place where spirits of the dead existed after their bodies had experienced physical death. In Jewish circles, that realm of disembodied spirits was called Sheol. In the Greco-Roman world, there was a remarkably similar belief in a place of the dead known as Hades. And a few centuries before Jesus' time, Jewish thinkers and sages had proposed another residing place for disembodied spirits as well. Thinkers came to believe that the spirits of martyrs, those who gave their lives for God in service to God's way, standing up for God and for God's ways, Jewish thinkers came to believe that the souls of martyrs received an elevated post-death experience. Their bodies were dead and buried, but their souls were not believed to have descended down to Sheol or to Hades, somewhere within or below the earth. But the souls of martyrs were believed to have ascended into heaven to be in the care of God. Sheol, Hades, heaven, these were the spiritual realms of the dead. And it was understood in Jesus' time that people's spirits could from time to time return to this, our earthly plane of existence. The disciples knew that Jesus had died. And now it seemed to them that Jesus' spirit was paying them a visit. When David Blau lived here in the village, he was asked to house sit the old haunted parsonage. The Roses were going away for a few days in February, but their cat needed to be looked after. And David Blau is apparently a very kind man, for he agreed to house sit. During our luncheon on Thursday, he told the story about how the time came for him to enter the old haunted parsonage to check on the cat and feed it. David explained that all alone in the cold of February, he crossed the threshold and entered the old haunted parsonage. He was expecting to see or hear the cat there on the main floor in the kitchen near its food and water bowls. And when he didn't see or hear the cat, he felt compelled to go find it. And so, doing more than I would have done for my neighbors on his own in that supposedly haunted parsonage, David Blau began walking from room to room. Here, kitty, kitty. Caring for the cat was going to be more complicated than David Blau had anticipated. The truth about Jesus on that first Easter evening was also more complicated than the disciples immediately thought or understood as well. Jesus apparently knew or perceived that their logical assumption was that he was just a spirit, a ghost, visiting from heaven or Sheol. Jesus gave the disciples and their companions gathered with them that evening, he gave them proofs to challenge their thinking and help lead them to an astonishingly different conclusion. Jesus showed them his hands and his feet. He invited them to touch him and to see him. He pointed out that he was bearing real life skin and bones. Then he asked them for some food. And in their presence, we're told that Jesus ate a piece of broiled fish. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned a theory for interpreting scripture. The theory says that if something in scripture is weird, then it's probably important. The detail about the fish and the fact that it was broiled fish, that detail is weird. That's just weird. It's strangely specific. Now, typically, when you have a detail in the Gospels, a detail that is so specific, it's usually an allusion to something in the Old Testament. With strangely specific details, the authors of the Gospels are trying to draw the minds of their readers to something in the Old Testament, a promise or a story or an expectation that Jesus is fulfilling. In this case, though, that detail about the broiled piece of fish, it is just a sheerly strange detail. It is no allusion to the Old Testament. Instead, it amazingly seems to be the recorded memory of the disciples and their companions from that first Easter evening. Renowned New Testament scholar N.T. Wright shares this perspective. Compared to the rest of the content in the Gospels, the details of the resurrection accounts, N.T. Wright points out, the details from the resurrection accounts are strangely absent of allusions to the Old Testament. If the gospel writers in the early church wanted to invent stories about Jesus after the resurrection, they could have done much better than a weird detail about broiled fish. It would seem, N.T. Wright and others have concluded, that what the gospel writers share with us about the risen Christ are the recorded memories of the disciples. The point is this. Jesus ate something. The memory of the disciples handed down first by sharing that story orally and then as it was recorded and written down in the Gospels, the memory that was passed down is this. On Easter evening, Jesus showed up in flesh and bones and he ate a piece of fish, specifically broiled. A few weeks ago on Maundy Thursday, I pointed out that in the Gospels, Jesus is often portrayed dealing with food and drink and attending meals and banquets. The examples are manifold. Jesus was infamous for eating and drinking, so much so that the Gospels report that his opponents disparaged him for being a glutton and a drunkard. Eating and drinking was clearly an important part of Jesus' ministry. But commentators like N.T. Wright point out that this act of eating a piece of broiled fish is the first and only time in the Gospels where Jesus is depicted and narrated as actually eating. Nowhere else in the Gospels is Jesus described in the act of eating. This is the only instance. I'm sure that Jesus ate and drank like a normal person all throughout his life and ministry. The Gospels tell us that he fasted in the wilderness, which implies that outside of fasting, he ate and drank like everyone else. But this is the only time in the Gospels where a writer takes the time and the effort and makes it completely specific and clear that Jesus took and ate food. The point that is being made is that Jesus was not a ghost. He was flesh and blood. He was a person who had died, but was now newly alive. He was a resurrected living person. He had died. He had passed through the power and experience of death, but now he was alive again. Something new, something different, something unexpected had happened. As David Blau walked through the old haunted parsonage, room to room looking for the cat, he didn't bump into any ghosts. As he was telling this story, we who were listening were on the edges of our seats waiting to hear a good ghost story. Instead, David told us that eventually he found the cat, and unfortunately, the cat was dead. It was lying lifeless on the rose's bed. And so with the care and love of a good shepherd, David Blau carefully placed the body of the rose's pet in a cardboard box. It was February. The weather was cold. And so David explained that he placed the box in his garage and he waited for the roses to return home from their trip a few days later. When they arrived, David Blau had some less than good news to share. Ghosts, dead cats, haunted houses. As strange as some of these things might seem, these are examples of what is typical in our earthly experiences. People bump into ghosts. Sometimes we are visited by the spirits of our loved ones. People and pets live and they die. On Easter evening, however, Jesus' disciples experienced something strangely and radically new and different. In Jesus, with his flesh and his bones, with his ability to eat and drink, Jesus showed that he had come through the power of death and that he was alive again. In this, Jesus was sharing and offering good news, better news than what the disciples had expected to receive that evening. Jesus was sharing the good news that God's new and promised creation, a new creation that was rescued and redeemed from sin and evil and the power of death, that new creation was surprisingly and unexpectedly breaking into this, our old reality. That new creation, that new life from God, it was and it is the foundation of the disciples' faith and their belief. That experience with the risen Christ is what moved and motivated and propelled them forward into the founding of the church, and we are those who carry on in the movement that the risen Christ created. That new life was and is the foundation upon which we are invited to place our hope, as strange and surprising as it may be. Thanks be to God. Amen.